Some places have a tradition for entrance. Another word for this rite of admission is initiation. It is a rite of passage. There are many kinds of initiation. For example, when I went to college, there was a week-long study about the campus and the procedures and the rules and regulations and all that jazz when I got there. When someone becomes a cashier or a drive-thru worker as well, the manager might be there with them, showing them the ways to go. Initiation can be simply how to do things with the rules or regulations for a particular place. But there is also another kind of initiation, one that might be done by senior staff or seniors in a high school that some of you may know as hazing. Hazing is pulling pranks or doing things because a person is new and doesn't yet know the ropes. Imagine a surf resort. There's a hotel there and there's plenty of beaches where places that people could go and surf. And there's a particular beach at this surf resort that is hard to find. But it has been a tradition at that surf resort that the senior staff would be the ones to show the new ones, the newbies, where to find that surfing location. But the way that they were able to find out this location was to first have to go through hazing. And so a conversation among the senior staff might go something like this. One of them might say, how many of those newbies are we going to let through this year? And you might hear another one say, I vote none. But then you might hear a third one say, well, our senior staff let us know where it was, so I think that we should let all the newbies in. But again, of course, then the important question, but we're still going to do hazing, right? And of course, even the one that offered the word about the senior staff would agree, yeah, we're still going to do the hazing. Now, I didn't get that example myself. I wish I was smart enough to come up with that. But there was an animation on Cartoon Network a few years ago called Stoked, and it was that very example. Now, the surf resort has nothing to do with religion, but that example works very well for our first reading this morning from Acts. One could easily imagine or see friends, family, or coworkers having such a conversation about initiating new people or hazing new people in a new line of work or other such place. But should such an initiation take place for coming into Christianity? That was the question that Peter and the circumcision party had in this chapter from the book of Acts. So turn with me and we'll look at that over the next several minutes. The apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, you went to uncircumcised men and ate with them. Here is yet another group with another initiation and another conversation. The group is the Jews who came to believe in Jesus Christ. But there is something that you need to know about the Old Testament laws concerning the Jews, if you don't already know it. And that is that every Jew, every male Jew, had to be circumcised. And any Gentile that came to the Jewish faith that was male also had to be circumcised. That was God's law, that there would be circumcision. And by another of God's commands, they were not to eat anything unclean or common, or to even associate with anyone unclean. In this case, anyone who was uncircumcised was also considered unclean. So it is only natural that these Jews turned Christian would question Peter's actions. After all, didn't Peter agree with God? What was he doing eating with these uncircumcised men and women, these Gentiles? More than that, how could these Gentiles be coming to faith without having to be circumcised? It just wasn't fair. With Peter being criticized for eating with these uncircumcised Gentiles, your mind might go to another who is criticized for eating with known sinners. Our Lord Jesus. How many times did the Pharisees accuse Jesus of eating with known sinners? And yet Jesus did not stop. He wanted everyone to hear his words. He wanted everyone male or female, clean or unclean, Jew or Gentile, to hear his word. It was how God wanted it done. God does not desire that any should be refused from hearing his word, no matter who they are or what they've done. Isn't that the very gospel in which we find our comfort? Yet do we ever desire, like those Pharisees or the circumcision party, that there should be a way of initiation into Christianity? Or that certain people should maybe have to do something to be initiated into Christianity? Do you ever think that non-Christians should go through some sort of initiation? Or on the flip side, do you ever think that God will love you more because you've been in the church your whole life? If so, you might consider the parable of the laborers and the vineyard. Jesus is describing heaven to those listening to him. And he tells this parable that is like heaven. He says there's a master that has a vineyard. And he goes out throughout the day and he finds different people sitting around doing nothing. And he says, go and work in my vineyard and I will pay you what I find right. And he finds more a little bit later on. He says, you too go and work in the vineyard. And a little bit later, he finds someone else and says, you also go and work in the vineyard. And at the end of the day, he pays all of them the same amount. Some of them become angry because they had worked longer. And yet, they had agreed with the master that they were willing to be paid what he would pay them. And the master, out of his generosity, paid all of them the same. If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? This is the question that Peter poses to the circumcision party after he explains how God had shown him that God would give the same grace to the Gentiles as he had given to them. That is, Peter and the circumcision party. God gives Peter reasons to show that the consumption of unclean food and even the inclusion of the Gentiles, the unclean ones, would be given the same grace and the same treatment in God's sight. To the circumcision party, they had felt that it would not be fair to allow those Gentiles in without having to be circumcised. Now, we don't hear it in our text here. This is only the beginning of the argument. But by the end of the book of Acts, it is decided that no, they don't have to be circumcised to hear the word of God, because if they did, that would mean that they had done a work to receive grace. Now, some of the ones probably argued up until that decision, and some of them might have continued arguing even after that decision was made that they needed to be circumcised. Is there anyone to whom you would desire that God would withhold his grace? No matter how long you've been in the church, no matter if your family helped build this church or any such thing, God has chosen to give the same gift to you and to the one that you think he should withhold it from. Neither you nor they have received it because of work done or family ties or anything like that. All people, including you and them, have received God's grace by his mercy, by his generosity, by the work of Jesus Christ in living, dying, and being raised again on that Easter Sunday so many years ago, you have been given the same gift as everyone who received God's gospel. It's up to the grace and generosity of God, which is found in Christ Jesus. So in our text, Peter says that as he began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on the Gentiles, just as on he and the apostles and members of the circumcision party at the beginning. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how Jesus had said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So Peter concludes, if then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? When the members of the circumcision party heard these things, they fell silent. And they glorified God, saying, then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life. Note the phrasing here. They gave glory to God. How? By acknowledging that he had given the same grace to these Gentiles that he had given to them. It was not those who continued to demand circumcision according to God's old way of doing things who brought him glory, but those who were going along with God's new way of doing things. Now, just as these words were written in and through the Holy Spirit, living this way can also be done only through God's Holy Spirit. As ones who have been brought into faith in our saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is our hope and prayer that everyone would hear the good news, that everyone would hear the gospel free as it has been given to us free. If you find that there are those that you would have not to be saved or to not hear freely without initiation, repent. Repent and then remember that you have been given life, not according to your works or lack thereof, but all by the generosity, mercy, and grace of God. All of that found in our Lord Jesus Christ. It may be the way of the world to desire fairness and to do some hazing. And sure, in college or in workplaces, that might work. But thanks be to God that it is not required for our justification. Our justification and salvation are found in Jesus Christ alone, through whom God has granted you repentance that leads to life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.